Wow, what a day this has been. I just want to say, you have an amazing staff here at ECOB. They have worked hard to kind of make sure that the space is safe for you and make sure that all of the sound and stuff is ready to go. And the band has been awesome, and just extremely grateful to be walking alongside of these brothers and sisters in Christ. But we are so grateful that you're here. It's good to see some faces that I haven't seen in a little while. So it's good to see you. You know, there are some things that have come and gone that I'm going to miss, and I admit it. I mean, I kind of have that missing point, and there are things that why they were here, they're pretty cool. However, their time has kind of moved on, and so I've needed to let them go. For some reason, I love tape cassettes. I don't know what it was. It was something about tape cassettes. Maybe it's when they broke. You had to use your little pencil, right, and you had to wind them back up, And my first group that I bought on a tape cassette was Europe, The Final Countdown. That's a great song, right? I mean, you know that, ba-da-da-da, that's a great song. It was one of my favorites. I ran out. I remember going to Sam Goody, and I remember going there and buying my first tape cassette. It was with money that I had earned selling baseball cards to my friends. It was good. It was good stuff. I remember my first set of golf clubs. They were persimmon golf clubs, right? The wooden head, and my grandfather had given it to me, and it was a very wonderful thing. But, you know, they're no longer used now. It'd probably shatter if I were to swing one of those. It'd just blow apart, right? I loved going to Blockbuster movie. How many of you remember Blockbuster? Right, I mean, Blockbuster was great. You would go and you would spend like 30, 45 minutes walking around, holding up movies. Is this what you want to watch this? You know what that feels like, right? Is this the one? I remember, and I loved building forts, right, inside of the kitchen, right, or at the dining room table. Probably not the kitchen. It's probably the dining room. Sorry. I remember riding big wheels, sit and spin, getting in the driver's seat for the first time, right? A new life adventure, right? It would be my first day of college classes, my first day of seminary classes, my first day on the job, right? My first weekend here at ECOB. I remember it extremely well. People that I've been with at ECOB that have gotten married, those who have dedicated children, those who have passed on to glory, walking with them in that thing. Each of those moments in my life have had significant impact on me in a different way. There were transitions. All of those things that have happened to me personally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally have taught me valuable lessons. And each transition is accompanied by either an opportunity to grow or an opportunity to remain stagnant, right? I mean, and at times, I've experienced both that growth and that stagnation no matter what had happened to me in my life. And there were times where I was paralyzed by those endings, and then there were times that, wow, spurred me on to some beautiful beginnings. I'm amazed as I look at Caden's life of these endings and these beginnings and how they just seem more demonstrative to me. It makes me even more emotional to think about those than I do my own life. Seeing her learning all the time, having things that I never had growing up. Watching her just the other day working online to get her homework done. What? When in the world does that start happening? That's crazy. That's not supposed to happen until you get in college, right? I mean, I never thought that I would see that she would need to do that in sixth grade. And I'm blown away by how the schools have responded to this time. I am absolutely amazed, and we're so blessed to have amazing teachers and administrators in our congregation who have walked through this very difficult time. And I'm amazed at how Caden has kind of adapted during this time, and it's teaching her self-reliance and responsibility to get those things done. It's been neat to see that. And I'm in awe of that young woman, yet she too has taught me the blessing and the wonders of beginnings and ends. Seeing her move with grace in the midst of new beginnings around her each day is amazing. And perhaps I'm just getting old. I mean, I'm getting older, friends. It's just the reality of life. Perhaps I'm getting old and change is getting more and more difficult. Or perhaps it's because many transitions that I have gone through in life have just been difficult transitions. Or perhaps even deeper than that, that there are times where perhaps I have not acknowledged the power of God through the times of transition, times of change, times when things just needed to end and I needed to move on. Whatever reason for why I handle change, what I do know is that change is going to happen, and change is a part of who I am. And what about you? I mean, raise your hand. Do you love change? Like maybe five of you in this room, not even that, right? I mean, when you find yourself in the midst of a transition, you find it difficult, right, to remain focused or even worried about what tomorrow will bring. Do you get anxious when something is out of place or something that you're used to is not the same any longer? If this is you, I want you to keep your heart open this morning as God talks to us about transitions and changes and how we can be encouraging one another during this time. Look at the scripture for today. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at just the first few verses here. It says this. There's a time for every... How many of you love that kids video? That was great. That was awesome. It says this. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. That's pretty straightforward, right? I mean, listen again. There's a time and a place for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And as we think this morning about transitions and timing and change and how we're to encourage each other in the time of change, it's important to know, friends, first, that God's timing is sovereign. Amen? Can I get an amen for that? Sovereign, right? In the book, A Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom tells a story of a night where English and German planes were dogfighting in the skies over Holland. And after hearing her sister Betsy kind of stirring in the kitchen, Corrie raced down to see her. And for an hour, they sipped tea together until the sky kind of was silent. And Corrie returned to her bedroom. It was a darkened room. And she ran her hand over the pillow as she was going to lay down. And her hand discovered a piece of metal that was there. It was a 10-inch piece of metal lodged in her pillow. She rushed back to Betsy and she said, "Betsy, if I hadn't heard you in the kitchen..." And Betsy put her finger to Corey's mouth and said, "Don't say it, Corrie, because there are no ifs in God's world. There's no places that are safer than other places. The center of his will is our only safety. Let's pray that we will always know that." Do you have that kind of peace in your life right now? Let me ask you something. In your life, have you ever found yourself wondering, what if? You know, what if this part of my life didn't turn out this way? What if I didn't do that or say those words or do those actions? What if God answered my prayers the way that I really wanted him to answer my prayers, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes it just feels like we're out of control and we're powerless. It's easy to forget that God has the power to do what he wants and when he wants to. See, God can do anything all the time in his time, and it may not be the way that we would have wanted to do it. However, when you involve the creator of the universe, the way we would have done it seems pretty weak compared to that, doesn't it? I mean, an almighty and all-powerful God, when invited to the center of your life, will do tremendous things. But see, we have to trust in his power within the changes and the transitions in our life. That means that we are to give God total control, right? If you notice the first part of Ecclesiastes, it says, there is a time for everything. Not most things, not convenient things, not happy things, not positive things alone. There is a time in God's timetable for everything. And if you can learn to live with that in mind, it'll make those times when you seem alone, those times when transitions are difficult than you ever have imagined, it will make those times more bearable, and you will be encouraged by the light of Jesus, because it'll make those dark places a little less dark, because you know you have faith in a God that's in control, even when your life seems to be spinning out of it. Hebrews 4:13 says these words, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight." I love this scripture. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight, right? Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes. Of him we will give account. I mean, all things are laid before his eyes, right? He sees the past as clearly as he sees the present, as he sees this coming year clearly, right? He knows the transitions in your life. He knows that you lost your job. He knows that you're sick. He knows that you're frustrated right now. He knows that your family's struggling with this being inside of the house for 3 months. He knows this, right? He knows that maybe your marriage is going through a tough time right now. God knows that change is difficult, and that you can't always do what you once did, and that you're getting older. And I'm just preaching to myself that I'm getting older and frailer, and I can't do the things. I can't run with the young guns here in softball anymore. I'm getting older and frailer as my life goes along, and I can't remember things the way that I used to. This played out earlier today when we were talking about monitors. I couldn't remember that I put stuff away, and there it was. Things aren't remembering the way they used to. But God knows all of these struggles, right? And he hears them, and he hears our prayers. And here's the wonderful thing, is that God will answer you in God's timing. That's the difficulty, isn't it? Nothing is hidden from God's sight. Nothing. All is laid bare in front of God. You know, we have a Savior that knows what we've been through, though. Even though everything's laid bare, God understands it and he feels it because Jesus has felt it, right? In Hebrews, it says this, since we have a great high priest who has gone to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold on firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. I love that, right? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our need. You know what the Hebrews writer is saying here? He's saying, don't hesitate to approach God, for he knows what this coming year is going to hold. And he says, just come to him. You know, there's going to be times when you just don't feel like you have a friend in the whole world, but you have one in Jesus, right? You know the song, what a friend we have in. Yeah, good. You all are still paying attention. Very good. Now you have this friend, and we can be encouraged by this, right? Not only do we have a friend in Jesus, but I believe he encourages us along the journey, but God puts so many people in our life that will encourage us along as well. Those people who have poured into us, that great cloud of witnesses. So yes, in the midst of my deepest prayers, in the midst of my deepest struggles, in the midst of my deepest pains, in the midst of my deepest life challenges, my friends pour into me, encourage me, transform me to be a better disciple. Because friends, when God shows up, God's timing is sovereign and he is always there and he walks with others alongside of me. Let me tell you something. When God shows up, when God enters into your time of change or transitions, God's time is not only sovereign, God's timing is sufficient. Amen? I mean, there have been times in my life where God's timing has been impeccable, right? It was just enough to get me through some of those toughest seasons of my life, right? There have been so many times in my life where I've just kind of wondered, where are you, God? And then, boom, God shows up right then. Have you ever been in one of those places where you just kind of feel trapped and you feel like there's no way out? The scripture continues on. It says, and there's a season for every activity under heaven. God's timing is sufficient always. You see, if God ever is going to show up in your situation, and if he's going to reach out to you, he's going to show you how you can be sustained. Whatever your situation is, I can't promise you that God's going to answer you your prayer in the way that you want it to, but I can promise you, friends, I really want you to hear me here, because it's something, friends, I hold on to each and every day. You may not hear the answer that you want to hear or think you deserve to hear in the midst of your life that is spinning out of control and changing every way, but what I can promise is that with God in your life, with Jesus at the center, no matter what you are going through right now, here in this room, where your heart is, where your spirit is, where your struggles are, that you will make it through if you hold fast onto God, if you allow God to give you that hug that we talked about last week, right? God's power, God's authority is vastly more than you and I could ever even begin to imagine. God sustains us. God's timing is sufficient. Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for every activity under heaven. Everything. God has a time for everything. He's going to take care of you in everything. He's going to be with you in everything. Not 99% of things. He's not a Clorox wipe that gets 99.9% of the germs. God is 100% everything, right? Everything you see. And what another thing this verse does is it speaks directly to each and every one of us. For me, it speaks right to Brian Messler. I'm the kind of person, if you know me well enough, and most of you do, that I charge right in, right? I go right into the situation headlong, right? I'm not feet first, I'm a sliding head first, right into home. But when I look at the scripture, here's what I say. It says, I have a reason for every activity under heaven. In other words, God's saying, Brian, chill. That's the New International Brian translation there. I mean, he's saying to me, Brian, just be with me. Just be in this relationship that I want with you. Just obey me. And as I lead, I'm going to bring every event into your life that you need and in the time that you need it to have it and the sufficiency that you need to make it through it. And in times of joy and on the mountaintop and times of sorrow in the valley, I will be on time with everything that you need. Friends, God's timing is sovereign. God's provision is sufficient. I love that. If we could just think that way, Just believe that everything that we go through, that God's timing is enough. That God's sustenance, what he gives us, is more than we ever would need. The scripture that was read this morning now demonstrates that not only God's timing is sovereign and sufficient, but it's also seasonal, right? There's a time to be born and a time to die, it said. A time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to collect them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love and time to hate. And I love the kid on the thing, a time for war and a time for peace. Time for peace. What do you think the point of that scripture is? I mean, is it really about killing and healing and mourning and dancing? I mean, I think our life is more than just one long monotonous grind, isn't it? I mean, I hope it is. There are seasons of vigor, right, in your life. You can probably remember those. And there are seasons of rest in your life. There are seasons of great loss in your life, and there are seasons that are refreshing and that renew your soul. And the key, now you all, if you ever ask me, Brian, what's the key to life? Here's one of the things I would tell you. The key to living a full life is to catch on to what God is doing right now in this season of your life. Is to be attentive enough, to be discerning enough that you know what God is doing right now in this season of life. And if you can do that, if you can be attentive to what God might be teaching you in this life, you are going to live a full life. There'll be times when things are going to need to end. And there's going to be times where things are going to have to begin. In other words, I think God would say to us in Ecclesiastes is this, there's only a period of time, a season of time in which I'm going to be doing this in your life. Right? And then I'm going to be moving on to something else for you. Your bad moments, friends, are not going to last forever. Can I get an amen on that? Bad moments will not last forever. But guess what? Your good moments aren't going to last forever either. God is doing something in each season of our lives, and that's why it's important for us to be paying attention to God's timing so that we can move and ebb with the flow of the Spirit. You know, we've got to be willing to go when God says to go, and we've got to be willing to stay when God says to be still. We need to go when through times that are tough, and it might be the darkest night or season, but friends, what's that song? Though the sorrow may last for the night, what comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning, right? There's seasons. There's ebbs and flows of God's Spirit. Yes, God's timing is sovereign. God's provision is in the midst of change is sufficient. And our change and our transitions are seasonal. And there are great things to know, right? And these are some great, deep foundations of the faith, right? But in addition to what we've learned, I want to encourage us this morning as something a little bit beyond the text. When we face times of transitions in our lives, whether it's our personal lives, our work, our family, or whatever, there are things I want to take with you. In the midst of our seasons of life, we need to use transitions as opportunities to grow in Christ. What have you been doing over these last 3 months? I want you to think about that in light of what I just asked. We are to take opportunities to grow in Christ. Over the last 3 months, most of us have not done a whole bunch. We've been at home. We've been trying to be more with family. We've been trying to, you know, connect with just our home space, right? But have you really used that time to grow in Christ, to deepen your relationship with him, to learn more about yourself and who God might be calling you to be? When you get to a transition or a face change, you can be one of two different people. You can choose to be a stubborn turtle. Yeah, you can choose to be a turtle. That's not how I do it. You've heard those words before, right? God, I've never done it that way before. Oh, it's always worked this way. Why would I ever change it, right? And you can be that person. The more things change, the more you like to dig in your heels, right? And you're staying there. You're not going anywhere. And you're on the information superhighway, and you're driving a tricycle, right? You're just pedaling that bike as hard as you can. See, stubborn people, they look to the future, but it seems so overwhelming that they retreat into their shells for the safety and familiarity of the past, right? Perhaps you're not like a stubborn turtle, right? Maybe you're more like a rabbit, right? Maybe you're a rabbit, dude. And you naively accept change for change's sake, right? You jump ahead from one fad to the other fad, no questions asked. You're always living in the future. You disregard the past. Or you have this mentality that if it's old, get rid of it. Or when transitions happen in your life and change is coming, you take the two together, maybe. Maybe that's what you need to do. You need to run this turtle and this rabbit really hard against one another, and you become a rurtle or a turbot. You kind of get them together, right? A new animal where you don't resist change, but you don't also blindly enter it. You walk along with the Spirit's discernment and what God might be calling you to do, and you move along in this new season of life, and you use the things that need to end in your life as opportunities to grow in Christ. Or perhaps when you're faced with transitions, you take the time to reassess your priorities. Now, this is probably the biggest thing that I have heard over these last 3 months of people reassessing their priorities. And if you're honest with yourself, my guess is that some way you're reassessing that yourself. That we reassess our priorities, and there's no better time to look than to who you are and what you feel called to be than the time of change. And I've talked with the staff about this a number of different times. We have an opportunity to grow, to be molded in this time of change, in Christ's image. And you need to take time to reassess your work and your health and your relationships, your discipleship, everything. This is the time to do that. When this downtime is here, you can take that time to think about who God is calling you to be and how God is calling you to live. And finally, when faced with transitions and change, we use those times, we use God's sovereign timing, His sufficient provision and His grace that will never leave us in one season of our whole life. We use those as opportunities to share about God's faithfulness in our lives, right? We never should hesitate to tell how God walked with you through your time of change, right? Never hesitate to share how God brought alongside of you people to encourage you in your transition. Friends, Jesus encourages us, and we're called to encourage one another, especially in times of change. And Michelle, I love Michelle. Isn't she great? She's one of the coolest people ever. Michelle has this really great video that we're going to show here, and it talks about transition and change, from how Jesus transitions and changes us to how we are to transition and change another people by pouring into them and encouraging them. Listen to this. It is a message from Michelle.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Michelle. I miss seeing all of your faces in person, but I'm so glad that you joined us in worship today. Were you able to listen to Pastor Brian's message about Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 11? Well, verse 1 says, there's a time for everything. And I think right now is a great time for us to talk about encouragement. Now, today, we're going to learn a true story from the Bible about how somebody encouraged someone else with Jesus' love. Now, this story starts a long, long, long time ago. It might have been maybe 20 or 30 years after Jesus died and rose again and went to heaven. So it starts with this really mean guy, and his name was Saul. Now, this is Saul. He was a bad, bad guy. I mean, he was really mean. Can you show me your meanest mean guy face? Yeah. He was so mean he didn't love Jesus, and he hated the people who were walking around teaching about Jesus, and he was so mean he even wanted to get rid of all the people who loved Jesus. I mean, can you imagine? So one day, something surprising happened. Can you show me your best surprised face? Saul heard a voice out of nowhere. Do you know whose voice it was? That's right. It was Jesus' voice. Now, Jesus knew how mean Saul was. He had seen all of the sins that Saul had committed, and he knew that Saul had hatred in his heart. But that's not what Jesus wanted for Saul. That's not what he wants for anyone. So Jesus poured out his love and his grace into Saul. Now watch what happened. When Jesus forgave Saul and he poured his love and grace into Saul, Saul became a changed man. He was so changed that Jesus even changed his name. His name became Paul. Raise your hand if you've heard about Paul before. Yeah, I bet you have. Sometimes he's called the Apostle Paul, and that just means he's a really important teacher of Christianity. Well, after Paul received Jesus' forgiveness and love in his heart, he went around telling everybody he met about Jesus. He taught many, many people, and he traveled all over the place. And on his travels, he met a young man named Timothy. Now, this is Timothy. Timothy had grown up with a mom and a grandma who loved Jesus, so Timothy already knew about Jesus and had his love for him in his heart. But Paul wanted Timothy to be able to go out and teach others about Jesus. Timothy was really young, and sometimes he was sick, and I think sometimes he was even a little bit afraid to tell people about Jesus. So Paul encouraged Timothy by showing him how to be a good teacher, taking him around on his travels and showing him what to do. And also, Paul wrote Timothy a few letters. He wrote him letters encouraging him and explaining about God's love and how that is enough for everyone. Watch what happened when Paul poured out encouragement and love into Timothy. Wow, Timothy really became a changed person too. Timothy was transformed into a great leader and teacher of Christ also. Do you see what happened here? Jesus poured out his loving grace on Saul and changed Saul into a righteous man and a great teacher and leader named Paul. Then Paul poured out love and encouragement into Timothy and changed Timothy into a great teacher and lover of Christ also. Just like Jesus encouraged Paul and Paul encouraged Timothy, you can encourage others by sharing Jesus' love. I want to leave you with a few encouraging words that Paul wrote in one of his letters to Timothy. I hope it encourages you to share Jesus' love with others too. This is from the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be ready to serve God in good times and bad, like now. Correct people's mistakes and warn them. Encourage them with words of hope. Be very patient as you do these things. Teach them carefully. Verse 5 goes on to say, but I want you to keep your head no matter what happens. Don't give up when times are hard. Work to spread the good news. Do everything God has given you to do. I hope that these verses were encouraging to you today, and I hope that you take some time to encourage some people that you know or even people that you don't know with the love of Christ. Bye.
Yeah, Paul was going through a season of life. Saul was going through a season of life, and Jesus came in and poured into him and encouraged him, and he became something transformed, something changed. Each season of life that we have, friends, we need people who will walk beside us and encourage us, to challenge us along that way. And I don't know about you, but I need those people probably just as much as any of us does during this time. People who will love on us and care for us and walk with us and challenge us and push us to grow us deeper into what it means to follow like Jesus, to follow Jesus and be like him. See, we're going to have these transitions. We're going to have this time. And each and every moment, there are going to be necessary endings of our life. And then there are going to be moments where it's going to start over. And we pray that it'll be moments of blessing and blessings of hope. So friends, as we kind of enter into a time of praying with one another and encouraging one another in prayer, may our hearts be lifted, knowing that God's seasons will ebb and flow, but all through it, God is with us. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace, for the hope that is found in you. We know, Lord God, that in the midst of all things, you are there and you are present, and we just desire to shower upon you all of our love. And God, we pray that as we do, we can encourage and empower one another. In your hope, Lord God, may we find opportunities to support one another and encourage one another and lift one another up. Because in the midst of all of that, Lord God, we know that you are King and you are Lord and that you are Savior. Holy and wonderful God, may the hope that is found in you become so evident and so prevalent in our lives that as we surrender to you, as we give our lives to you, Lord God, that others around us will see that and they will be emboldened, that they will be energized, that they will be encouraged to live a life worthy of the calling that you have for them. So God, we celebrate you and we give you all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. For we pray this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.